Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this October 20th, 2022, 10:33 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. here. I am joined by our good friend, Jackie Carantini, human development educator with UW Extension. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. How you been?
Good.
Good. Good to hear. Very good to hear. We're going to dive into a topic today, Jackie, that I don't know if we could ever spend enough time on, especially because it is ever growing and changing. We're getting into checking your credit report and identity theft. It's something that we've touched on before, but that whenever that was, it's so much has gone on or evolved since then. So it's a great topic whenever we can get a chance to dive into it, especially with somebody who knows what they're talking about like yourself. Where do you want to start, though, with something like this? It's such a big conversation.
It is. So typically in October, we do talk about it because pre-COVID, we had a campaign called Check Your Credit, and we did 2-2, 6-6, and 10-10, right? And reminding folks that in February, June, and October, you should pull your credit report just as, you know, a healthy thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. And one of those things we always, and first question I get, especially from a lot of older adults, is, oh, my credit's good, or I'm not buying anything, I don't need to pull my credit report. So first misconception right there, number one reason you're pulling your credit report has nothing to do with your credit score. Your credit report is to identify identity theft, mm-hmm. right? So each category in that report could be a red flag that something is wrong. So October is a perfect time of year to pull it up and see. Now, because of COVID, good and bad, so identity theft and COVID, I just pulled the numbers and I was even surprised because I knew it went up and they've been saying it went up, but I didn't realize like how much it went up. Mm-hmm. So there's one report that says in 2021, there were over 850,000 reports of identity theft for $6.9 billion in losses.
Wow.
Right? No. Like that's personal, private, that's not businesses. Yeah. That's huge. So because of that, they, during COVID, said you could get your free credit report on a weekly basis. So forget our 2-2-6-6-10-10. You could get it every week. That now, and it was supposed to expire in April, then it was supposed to expire at the end of this year. Now it goes all the way through December 31st of 2023.
Wow.
Because it is still such a huge issue and it keeps increasing. So as the little commercial said before we started here, as Ben was telling us from the United Way, annualcreditreport.com is where you can get it. There's three ways you could do it. You can do it. There's a 1-800 number, or you can go to annualcreditreport.com, or you can print it out and mail it in. So it's really easy. You can pick each of the three bureaus, so Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, and they'll send it to you. If you do it on the internet, on your computer, it comes right away. You'll get to see it immediately. The other ones do take a little while. I will forewarn you that they'll ask identifying questions to make sure that it is you, right? Because why are we doing this? Because of identity theft. So we don't want anybody to pull your report. So they will ask you some pretty tough stuff. Mm-hmm. Know that. If you don't know the answer, all you have to do is get out, go back in, and it generates a new question. So like the first time I had done this online, because people were telling me this, it asked me what the address of my financial institution in 1992 was.
Oh, jeez.
First of all, yes, my memory doesn't go back 30 years. You're lucky I can tell you what it was. It was Wachovia Bank. Wow. But I was living on the East Coast. That bank is no longer in existence. Yeah. It has, you know, gone out of business. So there would be no way I'd even be able to find out what the address of the Wachovia Bank in 1992 was. So yeah, go out, get back in, new set of questions. So we'll start there. Pull your credit report. If you have not pulled your credit report, do it. And you can continue to do it. And right now you can pull all three bureaus at once if you so choose so, or pick one and then kind of see. They're a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's, and again, pay attention to each category. So like that first category is personal identifying information. So it's going to give your name. So then it'll say aliases. So let's say it says, you know, for yours, it comes up Jim Bob. And you're like, I've never gone by Jim Bob, right? That's not me. So that would be a red flag, right? Right off the bat. So it'll come up with that. It'll give addresses and places you've lived. So if it says you lived in Boulder, Colorado, you're like, I've never lived in Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. Red flag number two, right? So that means someone else is using your social security number under different names, different addresses, and you don't know what they're doing, mm-hmm. right? So, but those are red flags that, okay, I need to pay attention. Maybe mm-hmm. I need to change some things, change my passwords and stuff, be pretty vigilant, right? Then the next category actually starts your lines of credit, right? So there's public stuff that comes out. So it could be bankruptcies, it could be evictions, it could be convictions, it could be judgments, court judgments, things like that. That all is in that category. And then the next one is any lines of credit that you have open. So sometimes people will say, well, no one has opened a credit card under my name, so I'm good to go, right?
Well,
wrong. Yeah. Because the number one type of identity theft that has had the biggest increase in the last 2 years is, want to take a guess?
Social Security.
It is.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
And also unemployment.
Yes.
So they're taking your Social Security number and they are claiming unemployment. In our office, Matt Lippert got it twice.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So the first time he got a letter saying that his unemployment was denied. And then he went back and found out that someone had claimed it previously. They got it. Mm. And then it was denied the second time using his Social Security number. So it can happen to anyone. So we do recommend. So start off with that of the best way to even check to see on a routine basis, keep doing it. Again, has nothing to do with your credit score or whether you want to get a loan, but just to make sure that no one has stolen your identity.
Really appreciate you sharing that example for us too, because when I talk to people, and I have talked to people about this subject before, most people think, well, I checked my bank account the other day, it's fine. Nobody's right. trying to steal my money. Like right. that's the first thing that we think of with identity theft. And
yeah.
more times than not, there's so many different levels to this. We're going to get through some of yeah. these as Jackie's already started so to touch on. But
they could just be using your Social Security card for something else. They could be or your number. They could be using your name or your address because maybe theirs is, you know, fraudulent and they're keeping their number. Like, there's just so many different components to it. You don't know what someone needs and the pieces of the identity that they could take from you. So, yeah, it may never come back to your checking account or your credit card, but it could be other pieces and things that they're doing with it. There could be criminal, charges right. under, lots of things. So again, it's one of those that I just want you to be vigilant. The other one, so right before COVID, I had done a veterans fair. And so I was saying this, and every single person that came up to me said, I have good credit. I don't need to check my report. Yeah. And I said, no, we're not doing this because of your credit. We want you to do it because of identity theft. I started keeping a tick when they responded, oh, yeah, I've had mine stolen through the VA. Mm-hmm. 78 people that day told me that they had wow. their identity stolen through the federal database. Because, and this was several years ago, but part of the issue was that they were doing some switches and for hackers, it's like a gold star be able to get into a federal database, right? So sometimes we think that those things are more protected, but it's also, they're a bigger target. So people want to get into them, to hack them. Or, we've seen in the news, big stores like Target or even the Bureau themselves has been hacked. Right.
Amazon, most of their cell companies have been hacked. These things, those companies and those places have a lot more money to play around with than the government does. So, if you are using those sites or using those, it's more to be aware of. It's not to say you can't trust them by any means. It's just that they're not printing money necessarily, right. although they technically are. But you know what I mean? Right. They're not a business that is completely making money so they can afford their certain things. This is, again, why it's so on a personal responsibility of checking your credit scores, making sure that you're up and on these, that people aren't taking advantage of you.
Right, yeah. So, it's just one of those things that, we could say over and over, and it'll continue to be there because, again, it's a hot button topic for hackers. It's something they want to do, and it's pretty easy, and someone can just sit and go, the thing that goes coincides with that is any passwords you have on anything, really try to do strong passwords, right? So I'm not going to get into the techie part of it, but it's this idea of don't use anything that personally comes back to you, right? So don't use your name, your children's name, your wife's name.
Your birth year.
Yep, right?
Your birth year.
Anniversary, birthdays. Those are all things that are public records that somebody can pull and guess pretty easy.
And these hackers are not just sitting there at a computer like for hours trying to punch these in. They have algorithms, they have programs that can do it for them. So they're some of the laziest human beings in the world and some of the biggest cowards in the world. But they are also creative and find different ways. Oh, that didn't work? Well, I'm just going to work this way. I'll come out the back way or I'll go this way. They've got nothing but time and to do this. So it's on us in many ways, as well as on where we choose to, you know, invest or these kind of things.
Yeah.
To be aware of this stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, they recommend you use a combination of letters and numbers, you know, do words, do phrases, you know, instead of a letter. So if I said, you know, BlackBerry, I can do capital B and my second B can be a number 8 for the B, right? Like be creative, but think of things that are not connected to you whatsoever, right? And I know everybody wants to use the same password for everything because there's so many things and we forget. But yeah, if you can change it up, the safer that you are. So, yeah. So anyway, so that's the start of this. So,
right.
You know, before we even cut this conversation, it really is all about checking that credit report and seeing where you're at. If you do have any errors, again, I wish I had a magic wand and I could say it was super easy to fix the errors. It's not. If anybody's had their identity stolen, it's awful. Yeah. It really, really is. I just talked to somebody yesterday who said they're still dealing with something from 10 years ago, like those implications. So it is difficult. But on the bottom of every report you print or you get in the mail, it tells you the contact information for that specific, because remember, so you pull them from each bureau, who to contact at that bureau to fix it. You know, so like, let's go with that first example of, you know, it said that you lived in Boulder, Colorado, and you're like, yeah, that's not me. So you could go and get, say, your tax return or a paycheck stub from that time frame, and you would turn that in to prove, yeah, no, I was here at this time. I was not living there, right? So it's a little difficult. It takes a little, you know, effort on your part, but really, really important. And I've been saying all along that, you know, it doesn't correlate to your, you know, it's not the same as your credit score, but it does correlate, right? So if it says you've done something and that wasn't you, especially if it is taking out, you know, defaulting on a loan or taking out 10 credit cards or things like that, that does come back on your score. So whether you are, and that's the response I got from a lot of older adults as well, I'm not, you know, my house is paid off, I'm on my last car, I don't need a loan, right? I'm not going to be taking anything out. So then you're even higher risk because you're not pulling your score and you're not taking on any new credit. So you wouldn't know, right?
Yeah.
So that's another reason that older adults are, you know, greater targets, because no one, you know, they're not checking it. And people know that, right? You're stable. You're not going to be taking on any new debt. So why would you even notice?
One of the great ways to prevent this from happening to people is them being aware of the different ways that their identity can be taken.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned the big hitters there, but there's so many other factors to keep an eye on and things to be aware of.
Yeah.
So would you mind, Jackie, if we went through some of the different types of identity theft?
Yeah, sure. So you mentioned the number one is using someone's social security card. I will say, I think hopefully we're shifting, but for a long time when I said, you know, fraud or identity theft, people imagined someone digging through their garbage, right?
Yeah.
They thought someone's stealing your garbage, digging through your mail. And although that still does happen, it's really, really small percentage. It's just a very teeny tiny amount. So the bulk of it really is digital, right? So it is, you know, and everything we do is digital now.
Yeah.
So every time you use a credit card or your debit card or every password you put on every account or you order something on Amazon or, you know, and some folks will say, well, I don't do any of those things. Sometimes, again, that makes you even greater risk because you're not aware what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, absolutely. So that idea of just a best way to prevent that is, again, making sure you have strong passwords and checking your credit report to make sure that no one else has used your social security number, because it doesn't always correlate to someone stealing all the money in your bank account. With social security numbers, it is more about they need that identity.
Right.
And it might be someone just used your card because they needed a social security number, and you never get anything negative out of it whatsoever. And they just took your social security number, right? To get a job. Maybe they needed a social security number to get a job, right? Still against the law, but it didn't, you know, affect you in any negative ways. So huge. That's right out there. Mm-hmm. Second one we talked about already too is that kind of government fraud.
Yeah.
So this is unemployment. This could be anything, like I said, anything related to the government. So any of your VA benefits or, you know, anything related to veterans. Again, huge, because hackers think, oh, government, like that makes them, you know, moves them up in their ranking of being a better hacker.
Creds,
right?
Among their other, cretins.
And the next one is that, anything relating to financials. So this is, again, creating bank accounts under your name, credit cards, taking out, you know, new debt, new loans, that kind of thing. That one is difficult because, well, I shouldn't say that. That one actually right now, because our banks and our financial institutions, so our credit unions, our banks, are on it just like that.
Right.
This past weekend, my daughter turns 18 this weekend, and so last weekend we took a girls' trip to Chicago to celebrate. Super fun. And my niece had tried to buy a soda out of a vending machine, and she put her debit card in, and it didn't work. Mm. And so she went to the other machine, put it in again. She got to the car, and she immediately had gotten a notice from her bank that she was charged $12 for these sodas. She didn't, right? The first one kept it and charged a bunch. So by the time we got out of the parking lot and we drove to a deli where we were going to have lunch, she tried to pay, and they said her card was declined.
Right, yeah.
And so she was like, oh. And I'm like, I bet it's from that fraudulent. And they had. And then she immediately had gotten a message from her financial institution saying, yep, we saw this. We know this isn't right. We paused it. We froze it immediately for you. Respond back, verify, and we'll enact it again. Mm-hmm. Like, holy smokes, this all happened within a 5-minute time period, right? So our financial institutions are on those. So in a way, that is kind of, it's good because they are totally on it. Whereas, 5-10 years ago, it took a little bit longer. There were systems in place, but it wasn't as strong. But the downfall of that is if someone does use it, it's hard, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we do say, if you're making an online purchase, or you're traveling, use your credit card, because there's insurance that goes with the credit cards, things like that. Whereas with your debit card, they could take, the entire amount of money out of your checking account. And it's difficult to, replace that. Again, your financial institution has also things in place, but not the same. So, it's one of those. The other thing I usually tell folks is if you have a dormant account, so let's say you have a savings account, or you have accounts that are just sitting out there that you don't use, absolutely make sure you check on those and watch that activity. So even if it is on your statements each month, just checking to make sure that it's still there and what's in it, right? So and especially if they're dormant, then you're only getting a quarterly report, right? So just kind of keeping up on that. So that's huge. The next one, medical. People will use your social security number to access services, things like that. So, like I said, sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. It might be someone just needs your identity. It's not necessarily that they're charging something or they're the fact that they took your identity is illegal, but they're not, causing you direct harm. It's that idea that they needed a new social security number for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So medical fraud does fall into that category too. Mm-hmm. The next one is sad, but I've been seeing this one more and more, especially in COVID, where folks, so let's say my daughter turns 18, she goes to rent her first apartment. The landlord comes back and says, oh, sorry, your credit is terrible. And she says, oh, I don't have credit. And he goes, no, you have credit. Your credit's terrible. And she said, what are you talking about? Yeah. I don't have anything. And so what we're seeing a lot of times is parents are using children's social. So parents ruin their credit. They need to do something. They take the child's social security number, mm-hmm. and then they access credit through that. Because how they could, right? They have all the information. They have their social security card. They have birth certificates. They have all the information they would need. So which is really unfortunate, because then again, that's hard to come back from. I just heard a speaker and read a book on this, where a woman, her mom ended up dying of cancer, and they had been fighting this. She knew she was the victim of identity theft for over 15 years, but didn't know, you know, they had been actively working on it. And after her mother died, they ended up finding documents that it was the mother. And so, yeah, so she has since written a book and is talking about it and really trying to help people advocate and know some of those dangers that's at risk.
That's
right?
A tough story.
Right? And there's not a ton we can do about it.
Yeah.
But if you do have young people in your life, especially if they're not your children or whatever, and you see them struggling, ask, because that might be something that they're coping with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's sometimes having another advocate with them to help them deal with that can be very beneficial.
I hadn't thought of that end of this. The people that go through this and how they, in the aftermath, not only I've heard and we've heard a number of stories of like them having struggles with this or that as far as finances or people believing them and that kind of thing, but then just the mental beatdown that this can be in the years and months afterwards, and them having a support system to deal with this, the aftermath of this.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I hadn't thought of it that end of any things. It's nice to hear that there is some support system, but hopefully we can even create a better one as we go on here, because this is not going away.
Right. So I wish I could think of the lady's name and the book, but she talked about that she ended up with post-traumatic stress over the whole thing. And that, you know, severe anxiety from the, you know, again, it went on 15 years. It was a huge turmoil. And it ended up, it wasn't just her as a child. It had used the father's and then like an uncle and like the whole family she had utilized, right? Yeah. So, just kind of scary that, you know, but it does happen, right? And we don't know why people do what they do, and that's not really the point. But again, that's why you need to be proactive.
Right.
Check your stuff and know what's out there.
And this conversation and conversations like this are not trying to, you know, get you scared of the boogeyman here. We're trying to fight back at that. What can make you less scared? Knowledge, information, understanding, okay, that I have control over this, and this. I can do these things, and I have that personal responsibility and that personal weapon to be able to defend myself by just changing my password or making things a little more difficult or that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it is a thing. It's one of those, I love to say this about everything, but it's that you don't know what you don't know, right?
Right.
And we all have that. You don't know what you don't know, but there's the, you know, the visual of the bird with its head in the stand, you know, so do you want to be that and just say, well, I really don't care. I'm not, you know, it is what it is and it's out there. Or do you want to be proactive and try to, you know, protect yourself from those things? So
most people don't jump into their vehicle and, you know what, I'm not going to put my seatbelt on today. I'm just going to wing this. Just see how this goes. You don't do that. You know, you just don't. You shouldn't do it with your finances either.
Yeah.
You want to be careful with these things.
Yeah, absolutely. One more that I think is really important that I want to get to is elder fraud. So again, in the last, I'm going to go even before COVID, in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, this has tripled. And I think part of during COVID was that we were isolated, right? So we weren't talking to our loved ones. So, you know, those, it's not new, the same scam, you know, oh, grandma, this is me, Brandon. You know, I'm in jail, or I'm stuck here and my card is frozen. Can you send me money immediately, you know, to help me? And because people were isolated and they didn't see and connect with their families, this went through the roof, right? So this was one of the number one scams that was out there. And again, it's not new. It was there before.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it cannot just be the phone call. It can also be an email, you know, even a letter in the mail, that kind of thing, with direct link how to pay. So this is one of those that if you think this is, you know, at all a possibility, you hang up the phone and you contact them another way, right? So you contact your loved one immediately and ask this, my niece, her husband, he works up in Wausau at Wausau Tile, and he had gotten a call from his grandma who lives down in Sheboygan, and, you know, and said, "Jason, did you get out of jail? Are you okay?" And he was like, "What?" And he was in a meeting with all of his bosses, and he's like, "What?" And so, you know, he stepped out, and she's like, "Well, I just got a call that you needed money to get out of jail." And he's like, "No, Grandma, I'm at work. I'm in a meeting. Sorry," right? But that's the way to do it. That is exactly the way to do it. So it might be a little bit embarrassing for you, but that's the way. So verify. And that works for anything, not just family ones. So if it's the IRS, you hang up. If it's your bank, if it's the, you know, taxes, you know, tax fraud, same thing. They're so vigilant right now, and they'll call and call and call. They'll even call your family and friends and say you owe money to the IRS.
I got a
IRS.
Great example of that, Jackie. My papa lives in Georgia now, and he called me up, and this is during the quarantine time. So it's around that time. And he calls me up and he's like, "Jimmy, what happened?" And I'm like, "What?" And he knows my background better than anybody. Yeah. I was a bit of a knucklehead growing up. Right. It would not be far-fetched for him to have heard back then, "Hey, your grandson needs bail."
Right.
But at me, last 20 years, I mean, that seems very far-fetched.
Right, right.
So he's calling up and he's like, what the heck happened? What are you doing?" I'm like, "Nothing, Pop. Why? What happened?" Even in Georgia, where he's states away, they were doing that to him, the same bit to him.
Yeah.
We did have a little laugh about it, but then there was the reality that set in, like, geez. He's not even in Wisconsin. We're not even in the same state, and they're doing these kind of things.
Yeah.
It's important to note that. I appreciate you sharing that, Jackie.
Absolutely.
Before we wrap up, though, I do want to get to one thing in particular. And there's so much more data to talk about with this subject, but we've told people what to look out for. What happens if it does happen to you? Who do you contact? What are some of the first steps, first things you can do to get your identity back?
Yeah, so it depends, like, where, you know, what it is and how, you know, so sometimes it's calling the police, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, filing a police report and seeing where that is. So that could be step number one. You found it on your... Pull your credit report. Yes, everybody should be pulling your credit report and looking for those errors, looking for those red flags. On there, it does tell you how to correct it and who to contact and how to get that, you know, proper information to prove that, no, that was not me, right?
Yeah.
So, if it goes through, again, through your financial institution, contact them. Again, every place has their own fraud department. They have people that are dedicated to doing this. So, yes, it's going to be overwhelming. Yes, it's upsetting, but there are people there that'll be there to walk you through. And like I said, they are so on top of this, which they weren't before. So if you had a scenario, even say 10 years ago, and you're like, "Oh, it was a hot mess. Nobody would be willing to help me, blah, blah, blah." Don't go off of that, because times have completely changed and they put efforts towards it now. So huge.
There's going to be follow-up questions. People are going to want to know more about this. Jackie, how can they reach you?
Yeah. So our office number is 715-421-8441.
Always appreciate the time. And I'm looking forward to getting into this again with you, you know, next October or before then, if we have to or anything. Always appreciate the time and the energy and the info. Thanks a lot, Jackie. Good talking
You're
to you.
You're welcome.
And you stick around. We got good stuff coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.